This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 133.
I applaud your professionalism, sir. All I had to do was smirk at you and you just lost it.
Yeah, it's one of them days. What can I say? I'm Mike.
I'm John. And did you get the episode number in there?
I said 133.
Okay.
Yeah. This is episode 133.
Not 129.
Not 129. 133.
I had no movies or trailers this week.
Really?
Oh, no, I had one trailer, but... Yeah.
I had one movie. I watched, I got out of the red box. I got Bleeding Steel. Jackie Chan flick.
Okay.
It was terrible.
That's too bad.
Well, okay, so...
Sad to see your heroes fall.
Well...
Unless it's Jackie Chan, because he falls really well.
But actually, he did fall pretty well in this movie. Here's the thing that I don't know, okay? Okay. So I don't know if the movie... All right, so like when Sylvester Stallone did See No Evil, or I forgot, whatever, you know what I'm talking about? He did that low budget movie in the Arctic that took place in the winter several years ago.
I didn't watch it.
Anyways, but you like working at the video store, we knew this was a low budget movie because we only got two copies.
Right.
It had Sylvester Stallone and we got two copies.
Yeah.
So, and you can tell like when Nick Cage or Bruce Willis or all these other actors, they're in low budget films. It's pretty easy to tell. It's hard to tell when like an Asian star, you know what I mean? Or a foreign star is in a low budget film because we don't know if it's low budget because it doesn't.
And even if they gave you the numbers, you know, the numbers are ridiculous. It's like $100 US is like 93 trillion yen or something. So you're like, wow, that sounds like a lot.
So
it's like the peso.
I rented this movie just I'd never seen it. Okay. And it's a Chinese science fiction cyberpunk action film.
That's too many adjectives.
Came out December 22nd, 2017 in China. And then apparently it came out here, video on demand, in July. I don't remember seeing a trailer for it or anything like that.
And yet Redbox had the audacity to charge you for it?
Redbox, yeah, a dollar. Because I had a 50-cent coupon, so...
It's tragic.
But basically, like, I don't know. It's got 22% on Rotten Tomatoes out of only 9 reviews, though. So it's not even heavily reviewed. Yeah. So basically, Bleeding Steel. All right. Jackie Chan, of course, is a Hong Kong special agent. And at the beginning of the movie, his daughter's dying from leukemia. And so as far as we know, he can either go visit his daughter before her death, or he gets a phone call from his boss saying, you have to transport this high-level witness protection agent, and I only trust you to do it. And so he chooses his job over his daughter, because, you know, I guess in China it's country before family.
Something. Yeah, pretty much. Plus it's a daughter. Yeah. China doesn't value female babies very
That's
much.
True. That's true.
They value male babies.
So he goes off.
How old is she?
Three, four. So he goes off, and they get hijacked by maybe a little over. I don't know, doesn't matter. Anyway, so he rescues this doctor, and basically here's the lie. The doctor's built a artificial heart, and it gives you like kind of powers. Yeah, it's one guy ends up being a cyborg and bulletproof. Not Jackie Chan. If you take away all the schlocky
podcast I'm listening to, they just did a penis transplant.
She's listening to Belinda Blinked. She's in season 4. John, you... What?
That was in season 2.
Season 2, okay. You listened to that, didn't you?
I've listened to 4 episodes so far.
Yeah? That's all you got to say about it?
It's very enjoyable if you turn the speed up.
That's why he told me that. He says he listens to his podcast at like 1.5.
Between 1.5 and 1.8 speed.
And you can still understand everything, but you get done faster.
And they're British, so it sounds even funnier.
Yeah. But apparently these people that do this podcast, after the first season, they start doing live shows like How Did This Get Made? You know, they do the live ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, I just, on the most recent episode, like, they had Haley Atwell on it.
I saw her promoting that on her Instagram.
Yeah, so that just seemed weird, but, like, it's become that big of a thing over there. Anyhow, it's okay. So,
if you Mike take, was just talking about some stupid movie that he hated.
If you take out all the sci-fi schlock and you watch just, like, the fight scenes or the stunt scenes, it's really good in that aspect. Like,
okay.
It's like classic Jackie Chan with this tremendous stunt he does off the Sydney Opera House, you know, with running across the roof and all that stuff. Or some of the fight scenes are really good fight scenes. But then they add all this apparently cyberpunk sci-fi crap, and it's just like, meh.
Yeah. It's too bad. Usually that kind of stuff enhances something rather than detracting from it.
In this case, it definitely detracted from it. So, which is, you know, whatever. It is what it is. What was the... Did you see you watched the trailer?
Yeah, I watched one for Vox Lux.
What's that?
It's going to be a fake biopic. Natalie Portman is playing an aging, I guess. Maybe she's in her mid to late 30s. Pop star. A Katy Perry type or a Lady Gaga type. And it's supposed to be star-studded extravaganza.
Huh.
Yeah. They just had the first trailer for it the other day. I might see it when it comes on, like, HBO. It didn't do anything for me.
Okay.
It's got Jude Law and...
You definitely didn't sell it very well.
No, like, I'm not trying to sell it. No.
I will say this, though. I'm pretty excited because I was looking at Netflix and the new Iko Uwais movie. I'm probably saying his name 100% wrong, but it doesn't matter. The Night Comes for Us. I saw that they just put that up on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, because I talked about it a while ago.
Right.
But apparently it was released. Yeah, because Netflix apparently had the worldwide release. They just put that up on the 19th. So I'm looking forward to watching that at some point.
Nice.
I didn't watch any trailers either. I guess I'm just going to jump on and ask you, did you watch any of the new Sabrina?
No, my sister is 4 episodes in. She says that it's better than it should be. She says that she doesn't feel that it deserves to be as good as it is, but she's really enjoying it.
Okay.
Have you watched any of it?
I have not. I was going to wait to see what you had to say about it because it's not something I'm super excited about.
I'm pushing everything back a week. Like I said, like this week, I watched and finished Daredevil season 3.
See, I didn't finish Daredevil.
Okay.
I watched... The last episode I saw was the one... Oh, it was a good one, too. It's when the... what's that FBI agent?
Who's Dex?
Dex, yes. I was thinking Hex. When Dex shows up as Daredevil at the paper.
And yeah.
The big fight scene at the paper between Daredevil and...
Oh, my God. How cool was that?
Awesome. That whole episode was pretty awesome. Because was that the epic hallway fight scene?
No, that was earlier on when it was the...
No, at the jail.
Yeah.
At the jail. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
Because you could tell that was... I guess
you could watch the camera, like, coming in.
You could see that was one whole take of that fight of him in the infirmary, getting out in the hallway... Back in the infirmary,
and
getting out
again. Some of the stuff that they had to do on one take.
Yes. It was crazy.
Like, when he slams the bed into the guy who's up against the wall, then jumps up, leans on it, kicks a guy in the chest to fall back on the bed. I'm like, holy crap.
Then later on, after he meets with the Albanian leader,
mm-hmm.
and he talks him into letting him go, then when him and his guy are going to get out of the jail...
Yeah.
That was one take.
Yeah.
Intense, and it was awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
That was so... I mean, that was exceptionally well done.
So obviously
that was the previous episode.
Right.
That was like episode 4 or something like that.
So obviously we won't talk in depth about it because you haven't seen all of it, but I will say I've watched all of it, and it was great. The last episode has some... It's not single camera, single, but... They do.
You mean
this,
episode 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do this thing at one point in the middle of this fight. You've got this fight going on between people. I'm not going to give anything away, but you've got a fight going on between people.
Yeah.
And at one point, two of the people start like talking and making their way over to a different doorway while the fight is still going on behind them.
Yeah.
And you can hear the fight like muffled off screen.
Yeah.
Like if you have surround sound, it's great because it's coming out behind you. And then all of a sudden, you're like, you kind of almost forget that there's a fight going on because it's all
right,
really muffled. And then suddenly, bam, and everything erupts back into it.
You see,
it's so well done.
As you're explaining this to me, I'm thinking about the new Halloween flick where you see, like, the scene where the girl goes into the store and she's looking for the key. And
yes.
In the background through the window, you see Mike Myers killing the mechanic. Yep.
Now imagine instead of visual, all you have is audio.
Noise, yeah.
So
there's no audio there. It was just visual.
Right.
Yeah.
This has been a great season.
I've watched the first six episodes.
I love Dex's character as Bullseye. I love that they never specifically, like, nickname him Bullseye.
Dude, the way he was in the office throwing pens and stuff.
With precision accuracy.
Yeah. It's Bullseye. Yeah.
And it definitely is, but I love him. He gets even better. After the episode that you've seen, he gets even better.
Well, when you saw him killing the guys outside the car, and you don't really see him, but you see him, you know, it's like, damn.
Have you reached the point? You probably have.
I just finished episode six.
Where you hear the noises that he hears?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because clearly he's acting strange in this episode.
You've heard the recordings.
Yes.
You saw his backstory.
He listens to the recordings, yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's not really a spoiler, but basically, like, when he starts getting stressed out or when things start, like, not making sense to him, you start hearing this noise playing that you know it's what he's hearing. And it's like a combination of insects and white noise and static. And it's so maddening that if you had to listen to this, you'd probably be crazy, too. It's great the way that they do it.
Cool.
I was really impressed with this season. Oh, my God.
I'm really enjoying this season. It's been out over a week, I realize, and I've only watched half of it. But I'm purposely taking my time.
Yep.
So I can actually sit and enjoy. I'm trying not to treat it like a background show.
I sped it up because I assumed that, you know, you said you were already like four episodes in. So I'm like, oh, I got to hurry up and get through it.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it.
Definitely good.
Love having Vincent D'Onofrio back. They really were missing him. Like all the stuff in season two with the hand.
Yeah. He has been excellent this season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like I can't get over how much I enjoy his character as the Kingpin.
And how much he really embodies him. I won't say specifically looks like him, but he does have a look about him that is very reminiscent. But sometimes when you see him standing next to other people, you're like, this guy is huge. And that's very enjoyable.
Well, if you notice, so they show, when they started showing the backstory of him when he was now when he's watching when the Kingpin's watching this isn't his
is that
him as a kid or Dex as a kid?
No, that's Dex as a kid.
Okay, he's listening to the tapes and watching Dex as a kid. Okay, that's what I thought.
Wasn't that brilliantly done though?
It was.
He's standing there all clinically like he's watching it play out just by listening to the recordings that the doctor did.
it was well done.
Yeah.
It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
We'll have to get more into it once you've seen the rest.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, I will say this. The second episode of Charmed, even better than the first one.
Oh.
It really ups the supernatural ante. Like, they ended up dealing with a trickster demon. There was a trapped inside of a mirror realm with a prism that can suck their powers that was locked away. Really, really well done. I really enjoyed it. Hooked me right in, kept me. They didn't rely on their powers a lot. You know, this was not an episode where they were constantly showing off their powers, but they had them there.
Yeah.
And you got to watch a very awkward sex scene with the youngest and her boyfriend because she can read minds. So, like, literally at one point, they're making out. She's taking her shirt off, and he's going, boobs, 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 boobs. Oh, my God, boobs. Oh, yes. And then she's like, let me get on top. And he's like, oh, why does she have to be getting on top? I hate it when she's on top. Just think about boobs. Boobs. All right, boobs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But it was well done.
That's funny.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I won't give it a hard sell, but I would give it a recommend.
Really?
Yep. We're only two episodes in. I would give it a recommend because it really feels like they're going for more of the supernatural element than the chicks in bikinis.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll check it out. So I gotta say, I have not watched second episode of Arrow. I didn't watch Legends.
Seriously? Did you watch Supergirl?
I didn't watch Supergirl.
The fuck did you watch this week?
I didn't watch Flash.
Dude! Did you know we were recording a podcast this week?
I did. I had a lot of homework. I had a lot of homework. And
you're going to say a lot of wrestling.
Nope. Actually, I didn't watch any wrestling this week. Okay, that's a lie. I watched a little bit. But I had a lot of homework to do. And I didn't get to watching those. But here's why. Because, What? It's no big deal. I'll catch up.
But they were good.
I might have watched Flash.
This is the one where they introduced the new Wells.
Nope, didn't watch Flash. I plan on watching them. Maybe I'll watch them tonight. I just want to let you know I didn't watch any of the CW shows.
I see. W.
My CW app, for whatever reason, is really muffled and quiet.
Don't be making excuses.
On my tablet.
Don't be making excuses.
So, and then last night, I forgot to watch any of them because I was going to because I got all my homework done. And instead, I watched the first episode of this new show on Netflix called Bodyguard, which is a BBC show. There's six episodes. They've already aired six episodes in the UK.
Oh, yeah. It was critically acclaimed. Everybody loved it.
Okay, I hadn't heard of it. So I watched the first episode.
Enjoyed it?
Wow. Like, it's good.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out.
It is good. Like, the first, I mean, in the opening scene, like the opening of the movie, like this movie, it feels like, honestly, they're about an hour long each, and they feel like a movie.
Nice.
And the first episode, I mean, so much happens. But, like, there's this pretty awesome, intense scene with him on a train with, I'm not going to get into details. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I wanted to check it out, but it got done just as I was discovering it.
Yeah. And then it's on Netflix right now, all six episodes. And then I end up watching the second episode, went right into that. So that was 2 solid hours. I could have watched 3 of the CW shows, I know. But anyways, the star, his name is a police sergeant, David Budd. He gets PTSDs from the war.
Okay.
And he's in the police, but he's not in the regular police. He's part of the royalty and specialist protection branch. So he's like the Secret Service.
Okay.
And his job is the Home Secretary, which I don't know. It's not the Prime Minister, but it's like the next step below him. So maybe it's like a vice president type rank, if you will, by comparison. Anyways, his job is to protect her. There's some very intense moments in these first two episodes. And then there's some very soap opera-like moments in the second episode. And, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to watch the next 4. So.
Well, that's good.
I didn't watch The Good Doctor this week because it wasn't on.
So, did you watch anything?
Yeah, I watched some other stuff.
Okay. Did you watch Superstore?
Of course. I watched Superstore in the good place.
Superstore was almost cringeworthy.
You didn't like it?
What Amy and Matteo were doing.
Oh, yes. The whole, you can't wear that costume because it's racist and all that
stuff. Not only that, but like going to each individual person and being like, you must not like it that they're actually appropriating your culture.
Right.
You know, you need to protest that. And, you know, pretty soon nobody can do anything because everybody might take offense at some point.
Right.
You know,
well, that's
the white guy can't be Rastafarian.
That's how it is now.
That's why it was almost cringeworthy.
What was it? I told you about the University of Florida 2 years ago had safe houses for people who might be offended by Halloween costumes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brown University has a course that you get college credit for about, I can't think of the term they use, but basically it's to demasculinize. Because, you know, we live in a too masculine society, so people can take a class on how to be less masculine.
Interesting.
Because, you know, that's...
Oh. I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah.
I need to figure out a way on my notes to, like, annotate them to say, next week.
Well, if it's a CW show, we're talking about it next week.
So, Superstore, as we were saying. Superstore.
Okay, so
other than that,
okay, I really enjoyed how Dina was wearing the same cop outfit from last year.
Yeah,
except this year she's pregnant.
Yeah,
so it didn't really have the same effect on
her. And I love how Amy's complaining constantly about her pregnancy, and every time she is, Dina comes around, she's like, "Oh, I'm doing great.
I'm fine." Yeah.
She's like, "I can't be having sex because you know I'm pregnant." Dina's like, "Oh, I'm making the way through my you know whatever it was like fantasy football league." You know, then she's like, "Oh, my legs hurt all the time, and I don't feel good." And Dina's like, "Oh, I've never felt healthier. I'm jacked up." And that was fun.
I like how Garrett makes mention how he tones out the Halloween music so he can't tell anyways.
And the annoying stuff.
Right. And then all of a sudden, that's all he can hear.
He had the glass shattered.
The song is playing again. That's the one. That's like when he goes, "Psh."
What was it? It was like...
I loved his costume, though.
Halloween surfboard or something.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
His costume was great.
As Clark Kent ripping his shirt over to be Superman, but his tie was stuck to the side. And
yeah, and
the
it's
hair.
Like winging up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he had the little curly hair. Yeah, it was great.
I thought that was awesome, but I just... Yeah, he throws... He even calls HR.
Yeah.
And I love the calls to HR. Amy having to call HR trying to get, like, some... Well, let's see here. Well, you can have an appointment with our doctor on, like, December 17th or blah, blah. Yeah, that's after I already have the baby. Oh, I guess you're all set then.
Yeah.
No. No, I'm not. You know, like, it was good.
It was, like I said, it was almost cringeworthy when they were going around convincing everybody to protest stuff.
Because, I would agree with
because
that.
Nobody was protesting it. Nobody cared. You know, the black woman who was from Jamaica didn't care that the white guy was dressed up like a Rastafarian. You know, the Italian guy didn't care that someone was dressed up as Mario.
Amy was dressed as Mario.
Or, you know, the... guy from the Middle East wasn't concerned that somebody else was dressed up as Aladdin. You know, they didn't care until people started making them care.
Right. And then, and that's how society is now.
Yeah.
And then I like how they still wear their costumes at the end because they decide. So then they go and do the completely stereotypical thing and then talk about the great heritage of their costume that they're, you know, they're appropriating or whatever.
I loved Cheyenne, though. Like, when she took her shirt off and she still had the coconut bra, and they're like, "You're still wearing the coconut bra?" She goes, "Yeah." And she looks at Sandra and goes, "I don't know how you people do it all day."
Yeah. It feels weird on my boobs. The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Okay, so my favorite thing of The Good
the
Place.
The Ballad of Donkey Doug.
My favorite moment is when they arrived in Jacksonville. And on the building behind them, it said, "Randy Macho Man Savage International Airport." I popped big time for that.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yeah! That, my second favorite thing in the episode... was Janet going, bing?
Yes. Well, when we were in the bad place, every time I would pop in, I would say, bing. So
yeah, you make a bing noise. So, you know, I'm, bing. Okay, don't look at me as I walk out. Bing.
Whoever they got to play Donkey Doug was so much like Jason. I feel like they could have been related.
So wasn't Pillboy.
Yes.
They all acted the same.
Oh, dude, they had like the same mannerisms and the same voice.
Donkey Doug's your dad? Yeah. That's why, but you call him Donkey Doug. I know.
I like when he showed up at his house and he's got the Incredible Hulk fist around a bong.
Yeah.
And he's like talking to him and then he looks at Michael. Or was it Michael?
Michael,
yeah. And he's like, "Whoa." And he hands it over to him and he's like, "You look like a cop. Are you a cop? Because if you are, you have to tell me that you're a cop, and then you can't arrest me for anything that you saw before you told me that you were a cop." And I'm like, none of that is true.
It doesn't work that way. And then their big plan to make, was it called Double Shot, which is an energy drink and a body spray.
Yes.
And then they got to break into an energy drink factory and break into a cologne factory and then break into a glass bottle factory so they can make this.
Well, you don't believe in us? Which, of course, everybody tells me that, you know, people tell me all the time that an energy drink and a cologne won't work together, you know? People on the street, doctors, scientists.
Several banks. I did like the fact that Jason was just like, "I can't just give him money. That's not going to do any good."
Yeah.
He was actually smart about that. But yeah, it was a good episode. I like the setup for it. I like how it ends with... Kristen Bell.
Eleanor.
Jeez, I couldn't think of it. Finding out that her mom's still alive.
Yeah.
She's like, "I can't go with you guys to Budapest, whatever it is. I got to go back to the United States and murder my mother." Because I like how she's like, "Oh, actually, your mom is still alive."
I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they have for the actress playing her.
Yes. Yeah, because those are always fun. Like, did you watch this week's This Is Us?
Yes. Toby. Yes.
I loved his parents. Great. So, Wendy Malick and the dad from
Wonder Years. You know, Kate has never seen The Wonder Years. Because when he popped up, I went, oh, my God, that's the perennial dad for me.
Yeah.
And she's absolutely. Like, and I go, because he was Kevin's dad on The Wonder Years. You've never watched The Wonder Years? Nope. It's like, awesome. But even Kate made mention of how did they make her look so young?
It's that new digital tech that they do. Look at the Marvel movies. You know, look what they did to Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Why does DC do it so wrong then?
That question could be applied to a lot of things that DC does.
But didn't she look, I mean, she looked so young.
Oh, yes.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I see, my first experience with Wendy Malick was in, what was it? I can't remember the name of the show. It was a show on HBO.
I'll say HBO show.
I want to say like Tune In or something.
No, she got naked in it.
She was like the ex-wife of Martin. They would always like cut to different old classic TV shows to like provide the
JD moments. Yes, I know what you're talking about because the kid grew up in front of the television.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
it was a great show and had lots of nudity, which at the time when I was a kid, you know,
it was very impressionable to me as well.
Yes.
Dream On.
There we go. But then she was also phenomenal in Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, I forgot she was in that.
I loved her in Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, great Dream show. On. Hold on, I'm looking it up now because there it is. 1990 to 1996. Wow. So I was 10 to 16 when it was on, or 11 to 16. That ran for that long. It was produced by John Landis.
Nice.
Brian Ben. That was the actor's name who played Martin Tupper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is a book editor who watched a lot of 1950s shows and he expressed his thoughts through snippets of old TV dramas.
Yep. They did it really well, I thought.
I thought they did it really well. What else was this guy in? Anything? Not much. I thought it was a pretty solid show as well.
Yeah. So, anyway, since we'd segued into This Is Us.
Yeah.
Toby was the name of the episode.
Yes.
It was not like last week's episode where, you know, last week's episode was all Vietnam, all Jack.
Yeah.
This was Toby, but it was everybody else too.
Yes, but the primary focus was Kevin meeting his meeting Mac. I'm just going to call him Mac.
Yeah.
His dad's buddy.
Yep.
From the Army. Oh, Vietnam, I mean. And then, like you said, Toby, at least he finally admitted to Kate that he's been off the meds.
Yep.
Because I think the scene we saw of him all upset and crying in the bedroom and yada yada was from what we saw last season. Like the end of last season, we saw the future.
Right.
We saw depressed Toby.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we saw that scene at the end of this episode where she walks.
Exactly,
in.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, that's been covered.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. We got to see him as a kid basically dealing with his mother's depression.
Yes.
You know, and how his dad couldn't handle it, you know, because back then it was different. And he was like, I can't handle
this. His dad, when you get that sad sack stuff, you need to find a way to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically be a man.
Yeah.
And then seeing him, you know, cheering his mom up and trying to help, doing the Rodney Dangerfield all things.
Because my wife and I were happy for 20 years, and then we met each other.
Yeah.
That's a classic, but it works.
Oh, it really is.
Just like Bobby the Brain Heenan. You know, what are you doing today? We're celebrating our anniversary. Oh, you are? How long have you been married, sir? 20 years. 20 years. You know, if you would have murdered your wife on your honeymoon, you'd be getting out of prison now. Instead, you're going to be in jail the rest of your life. You'd be a free man right now. That's anyways, we also got to see Randall and his approach to running for councilman, how it backfired.
Yeah, because he basically
called them all sheep and complacent.
He's not doing anything for you. He's not helping you. And they're like, motherfucker, step off. And and that guy who basically schooled him at the end, he's like, no, he came in here, he talked to the landlord, he got us decent rents instead of the overpriced rent that the guy was trying to charge us.
Yeah.
We don't owe him our loyalty, we owe him our lives.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, and Randall's right on this, that's the one thing he did for you 20 years ago, 16 years ago, but what has he done now?
Right.
Because he's right. They have become complacent. Because, absolutely. Yes, he did some great stuff for him then, but he's not doing his job now.
Nope, he is not.
You know? And if you're running a restaurant and you're not doing your job and your restaurant, you know, then your restaurant's not going to thrive. It's going to fail.
And Gordon Ramsay's going to show up and call you names.
Exactly. But you know what I mean, though? Like, that's a good analogy,
mm-hmm.
I guess, for that.
Absolutely.
But no, I thought it was a good episode all in all. What did you think about Randall's wife going for that job interview and kind of having a nervous breakdown or whatever about getting fired from her previous job? Like, shit she hasn't dealt with yet.
It's shit she hasn't dealt with yet. Like they said, you know, we don't see somebody who has 12 years of experience at another job coming over to us. And I think it was especially the line where they said, it looks like, you know, you were there from the beginning. And she's like, yeah, we basically started that company together. So it's something that they started together, and now she's been kicked out.
Right.
So I think that that hurt her as well. So, yeah, it's a lot of unresolved and a lot of different unresolved stuff.
And then Kevin finds out that his dad wasn't a mechanic in the Army, that he was a staff sergeant. He led a platoon. He led a squad of guys, and he was a great leader, and he saved my life, and da-da-da-da. And
not really a lot to talk about with the uncle, though.
No, well, I think we'll find that. But the big reveal from this is when Matt gave him the letters. Because first he said, I wrote your dad, but I never heard from him. And then later on, he's like, you know, maybe you should know what your dad's did in the Army. So he hands him the letters. And then he opens up one of them, and there's a photo in there of Jack and an Asian woman. And he's kind of looking at her. And then Kevin realizes the necklace on the Vietnamese woman is the necklace that he's wearing.
Right.
So...
do you think there could be another Pearson out there?
I'm wondering. I'm not going to lie. I'm wondering.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. He'd be 10 years older than the rest of them.
Right, right. Or she.
Right.
So, we also got a little bit of a side story there with Beth's cousin.
Yes.
Basically showing that even in this day and age, racism is still a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, how the store clerk woman, granted an older woman, but you know, she's like, oh, you're together, and kind of gave her the stink eye. And Kevin doesn't notice that because he doesn't even
think about it. He's oblivious
to it. Yep. But then they even had the conversation in the kitchen about the silk pillowcase.
Yes.
She's
I didn't understand that either.
I do because when I worked on linens and things, I had people come in and specifically talk to me about it.
See, when the Mac's wife said, well, did you tell him why? No. And I'm like, tell me why.
Yeah. And then she does. She's like, I'm not going to specifically say that I need this kind of pillowcase because of my hair.
Yeah. He thinks I'm just fancy.
Right.
But he gets one. He has one shipped in or whatever. Yep. You know, he has him pick one up for her.
But he just like, he doesn't realize what he did. Because he's just like, it seemed really important to you. Yeah. So I did it.
She's like,
well, let me tell you why.
Yeah. But the thing is, Kevin has seen racism because we see in this very episode when he and Randall go to the prom, they go to pick up Randall's date, and Randall's date's father was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, he's just like, he shakes his head. He's like, no, can't do it.
And Kevin doesn't handle it well. He gets drunk.
Yeah, which is pretty much his answer to most of
right. And then Sophie drops him off to Miguel,
who is already kind of – being the good guy.
Right.
I don't want to say weaseling his way in, but he's doing good stuff.
Because if you watch, they don't actually get together and get married until she's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So that's not for another several years.
He brought the piano because he found it at a yard sale.
I love it when he said, I mean, we can get rid of it if you want, but I'll probably drop dead trying to bring this back outside.
Yep.
Because he's covered in sweat.
Yep.
And, you know, he fixes the... refrigerator, tries to have a talk with Randall.
Yep.
And then when Kevin's there, then you see the flashback of him and Jack sitting there, and Jack's like, if I got hit by a bus or something like that, you'd watch out for him, right?
Right.
So he kind of feels obligated to his friend because, you know, clearly the crux of this show is Jack.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
I don't know. I just really like this show a lot.
Yep. It definitely all comes down to Jack and the choices that he made and the impacts that he left on people.
Yes.
And we're seeing even more of that now as we're going to expand into Vietnam.
So, I watched a new show.
Okay.
I was at work and I literally had like a half hour to kill and it popped up on my Hulu. So I checked out The Kids Are All Right.
I've heard of that.
It is
a sitcom, right?
It's an ABC sitcom. It takes place in 1972. It says
it's a
series is a single camera comedy about an Irish Catholic family in the suburban Los Angeles circa 1972, navigating the trials and tribulations of the era.
And the fact that they're grossly outnumbered boys to one woman.
Right, right. Mary McCormick is the mom.
I love her.
I do too. I don't know who the dad is. I can't think. I don't think it's Jack Gore. I think that's the oldest son. The dad on here. Was he was on what was that uh, the the really, really good graphic, realistic, like, L.A. cop show they had several years ago that starred NBC and then went to TNT. Can't think of what it's called. Doesn't matter. Anyways, if you saw the dad, you'd recognize him. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Anyways, there's like 8 boys that they had because they're Catholic, so they just have to keep dropping them.
Every sperm is sacred.
Basically. And like, you know, I really enjoyed it so far.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched the first 2 episodes. One's called Pilot. One's called Timmy's Poem. In the first episode, their oldest son decides to drop out of seminary school. And, of course, it upsets the family.
Hey, it worked for Fred Rogers.
Yeah, it did. And then you have, like, the second oldest son who brings his girlfriend home. And his mom's just like, you have a girlfriend? She's like, yeah. And she looks at, what do you see in him? Like, she's just so blunt about all her kids and everything. It's pretty hilarious. I really enjoyed it a lot. Michael Cudlitz. I know that name doesn't do anything for you, but
no, it actually does. I know who that is.
He was in The Walking Dead. Oh, he was in The Walking Dead. He was the guy that protected the guy that lied about having a cure.
Yes.
I don't know. He must be dead on The Walking Dead, seeing how he's not on this thing. Oh, Southland. That was the name of the show.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Gotcha.
I think it's a pretty solid show. It's pretty funny. I don't know. Kate, did you pay attention to the second episode of that the other day?
What?
A show in the 70s but with the household with all the kids.
Kids are all right.
Oh.
They wrote a poem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was actually like...
That seemed funny.
The kid decides to enter a poem in this contest, but he plagiarizes his mother's poem that she wrote. It was something for a school thing, and then the school submitted it to Reader's Digest. And then the mother finds out that, like, I wrote that poem. And then the kid finds out, no, you didn't. You actually plagiarized it from this original author, like, in the 1908 or whatever. And she goes, oh, really? Well, why don't we just send it off to Reader's Digest and we'll see. I guess we will. So they have like a battle of wills and he puts it in the envelope and then she puts a stamp on it and then they go mail it and they're like staring each other down the whole way and it's hilarious. And then they get a reply back from Reader's Digest that says, this is an awesome poem, but we're not going to use it. So they didn't pick up on it. And I don't know. I just found it funny. And then you have one of the brothers. His job is that he's the family tattletale.
Okay.
Where he tells on everybody. And mom's like, I don't want to talk to you about this tattling you're doing. Yeah? Keep it up.
Yeah.
So all the brothers have a role that they play.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny. It's done well.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I think this is going to turn out to be like another middle, like, how is this on for so long?
Oh, okay.
But it somehow works.
Gotcha. So,
yeah. I like it a lot. You should check it out. Because it's 20 minutes.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's fun.
Did you watch New Amsterdam?
I believe I did. I watched
before the episode. Before he follows him around.
Yes.
Gunshot wounds.
Yes. I watched both episodes because I was down 2. Remember? Yep. I watched the previous one, which is all the cardiac surgeons are off doing cardiac surgeon stuff.
Yep.
And the
conference, which happens.
Yeah. And then the other guy from the other hospital gets. Yeah. I watched that. That was decent.
Yep.
The gunshot one, the way it opens up, he's got the black eye, a gunshot's ripped through. It looked like it was going to be a bad thing.
Yes.
And then you see it. It was a really good episode.
It really was. And I liked how we bookended it by them finishing the newspaper article and saying, you know, they all did their jobs as well as they could. They did the best they could. The bullet was just better.
Yeah. And yes. Which I thought was good because it was weird because if you watch, you know, Tom says to the reporter, you know, hey, I love these things you wrote like 10 years ago, or these 2 articles you wrote. I thought they were really, oh, wow, those things were like 10 years ago. Yeah, why don't you write stuff like that anymore?
Yeah.
Because that's not what paying the bills. That's what people want. They want.
And he kept, like, over and over again, the guy would be like, hey, it sounds like the cops are doing it, you know, because it was a cop shooting.
Yes.
You know? And he's like, well, it's not. And he goes, no, that's not your story.
Yeah,
no,
that's not the story. That's
the hospital is the story.
Yeah.
That's why. And the whole time, too. You know, Tom was like, he was burdened with it because he was told that somebody in senior management had hired this guy to come in.
Right. They gave him full access to come
in,
but it was.
And he's like, fine, you can follow me around. But he kept telling them, no, that's. And then finally at the end, he kind of reveals, he's like, man, did I pick the wrong guy? And they're like, what do you mean? Oh, I'm the one that hired you and gave you full access.
I'm the one. Yeah, exactly. I'm the one that wanted you to come in to write this article.
Okay. I got to laugh right now because earlier on I was looking at you and you had like a red thread here. It was just a little tiny red thread like from a different shirt.
It's pointing to my shoulder. Yeah.
And then it kind of like somehow migrated here. Now it's hanging off your beard. Oh, no, now it's back to the shirt.
Oh, I see. That's tiny.
Like, you're talking, and it's literally hanging down, like, an inch from your beard. Like, it's your one red hair, like, that you're talking to me, and it's hard to keep a straight face.
That's all right.
So, yeah, that was a very good episode. I still enjoy this show, despite the fact that the hospital is too big.
Yeah, it's a bit absurd, the size of the hospital. But it was a good episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you watch Manifest?
I did watch Manifest.
This was the one that had the flashback of what people were doing after the plane crash. Well, the plane disappeared.
Right. Like,
mostly mom and the daughter.
Exactly. What the people that weren't on the plane.
So it kind of makes you feel for them a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
They moved on with their lives because they kind of had to.
What was the guy, Danny?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like when he says, like, 10 days ago, we were a family, and now we're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's got to be hard on him. And he's, like, he's being ultra, like, you know, and then you have that moment at the end where...
He tells her, he's like, you know, I loved you, but I also love that girl of yours.
Yes.
You know?
Right. And you have the moment where they get the news that the plane's returned and everyone's back. And so they have that, the three of them hug, because even the daughter knows, like, everything's changed.
Right.
So... Kate had mentioned that she felt the ending of the episode was supernatural in flavor, because you had the boy, the son, who seemed to know all these things happening, had all these feelings, and thought he saw this and thought he saw that. And then at the, you know, like, guiding
running
them,
off and saying, you know, everything's connected. And his dad kept hearing everything's connected in his head.
Right. Going from the platform at the train station all the way through all these tunnels and yada yada to where the guy was hidden.
Right.
And then at the end, you see the little boy, like, when there's a big bright light outside the plane, and he's the only one looking outside at the light.
Right.
So you thought, Kate.
I thought it was more supernatural. I mean, white light could be considered religious.
Right. Which they do have a lot of religious overtones in this.
And they call it the calling when they hear something.
Mm-hmm. I would prefer it to be supernatural.
Me too.
I don't, you guys know I don't like supernatural shit. Like, yeah. I don't like most of this crap you watch. Right.
Or don't watch.
But I also, you also know I have no interest in the religion undertone. So,
yeah.
Or overtone, under, over. But, I'm going to go supernatural. Just maybe wish.
I'm hoping that it's supernatural.
I'm hoping it's supernatural.
I'd much rather have that than, you know, God stuff.
Hey, while you're here...
Supernatural makes more sense. Why would God do that?
Right.
Right, it doesn't make sense.
He just, like, reached down and held onto the plane for 5 years. He's like, oh, you can't go anywhere. It's like you know, holding your... Oh, you can't reach me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While you're still here, they've announced the date for the Timeless movie, December 20th.
Yes.
December 20th.
And the poster says, time to get Rufus.
Yes. Two-hour finale. It's supposed to conclude the series... I hope it just concludes it on NBC because Netflix picks it up.
Right,
and keeps running with it.
Yes.
They picked up Lucifer.
It's the weirdest thing. I swear to God, I just saw the end credits for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on
your
TV.
You did.
Now I'm seeing the intro credits for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on your TV.
That's how it works in this house. Yeah.
That's all. We watch.
I'd go insane. I'd literally go insane. I'd start.
You know what? If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Just sing the songs.
Just sing the songs.
Are you condoning violence?
No.
Because your children are small. You could probably beat them.
I'm pretty sure the older two would prefer not to watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on that's why
He's little, you know?
He's
you
say,
you gave two options. If you can't beat him, join him. I mean...
That's why we join him.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't beat him.
Why? He's small.
Because it's not the right thing to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're going with the whole moral thing.
We're not pieces of crap. Yeah.
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 That's a good thing.
But
it's something to be proud of.
The thing is, though, like, he goes through phases. Like, we had the Winnie the Pooh forever. Trolls.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bit painful at times.
I can imagine.
It was a good movie, though.
Once, twice, not 70. Mary Poppins. That was on loop for a long time.
Mary Poppins Returns is coming.
Yes, yes. We'll see. And now it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Gotcha.
I don't know what will be next.
Another musical while I pull out.
Again, we still got to try Bed Noms and Broomsticks.
Yes.
But yes, so Timeless, December 20th. I'm excited.
Yes, I am as well. Did you watch the second episode of The Rookie?
I did. I watched it while she was still down, and she got sucked into it.
Thanks.
It was okay.
I enjoyed it. It's Nathan Fillion. And
but it's not Nathan Fillion in a comedy role.
No.
Like, he's pretty dramatic in this.
Yeah.
This is a pretty dramatic show.
Yeah. And
he kind of... I liked that they followed up and kept her TO out of commission.
After getting shot. Well, yeah, when you get shot in the gut, you're out for a while.
Right.
Or one episode, whatever.
Or one episode, yeah, because he was back by the end.
So she's basically got a different TO.
Yes.
Who's Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Yes. Laid Back, and...
Mr.
Cautious.
Cautious. And, but he even admits that. He's like, look, my kids like me coming home. My wife likes me coming home.
I like coming home.
You know? So... I'll be the officer that writes the tickets. They can be the officer that chased down the bad guys, do things like that.
Right.
And I'm okay with it. And he's okay with that.
Yeah, he
is. That's what he does, you know? And even her training officer's kind of like, he's okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, well, that's who he is.
Right.
So.
That's his fault.
It is my fault. This is my fault. So, anyway.
But basically, we open up with, you know, him trying to stop a car that's running away.
Yes.
And not, like, running away as in, like, it's flying downhill, but as in, like, someone who's trying to evade. And
they're having a pursuit.
Failing over and over again. And costing the city lots of money.
Yes. As it was, I believe they said $21,000 in damages.
Yes, I like the numbers that he lined up on there.
Yeah.
Know? Number of opportunities that you had to actually stop her.
Yeah.
I can't remember what
three
the
or five.
Yeah.
It was like 3, 5, and 21 were the numbers.
Yeah. It was like three opportunities, five was something, and then 21 was
five vehicles you hit or something.
Right.
Yeah.
$21,000 is the damages that the city will have to pay for.
I like when he hit like something, like a shopping cart. Or no, he hit maybe a mailbox or something. And she's like, hey, everything you hit's a separate accident report.
Yeah.
And then he hits like the mailbox or the shopping carts. Yeah, I'm sorry. And then, like, why didn't you pit it? Because regulations say we're not supposed to pit it here, blah, blah, blah. And then he finally does pit the vehicle. And then the girl gets out in a wedding dress and
runs.
She's
a runaway bride.
Yeah. And then climbs up on top of the Hollywood sign, of course. And he talks her down from jumping.
And kind of. I thought he had to grab her. Like,
well, no. He gave her, like, he did this whole story with this lottery ticket.
Right.
You know, and what happened to him. And he bought one instead of buying booze and yada, yada. And now he doesn't need the luck anymore. So he gives it to her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, she slips and falls backwards over the sign. He grabs, like, her veil or dress or something. And so she's kind of hanging there. Are you okay? No. I dropped the ticket.
Yeah.
You know?
After that whole big, long speech about the ticket and what it meant. Yeah.
But then they end up – so he gets a new car. And he probably hits a pedestrian.
What do they keep calling the cars, though?
The shop.
Thank you. I was going to say
the shop.
Office.
I never heard that term.
Star shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets a crappy old shop.
Well, at the end, yeah. Well, yeah. Near the end, they give him like an old Blues Brothers cruiser.
Right.
Which the wife and I decided that's not something they probably just have in the motor pool for use.
Yeah. I don't think they really.
It didn't even have a cage in it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That was more something that you would put up and let kids play around
in. Right. Right. Yeah. Like that. That's the Dare Mobile.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Pretty much.
But he hits the pedestrian with a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they find and she's kind of ran in front of it, and she's got tape. You know, she's been bound and kidnapped and this and that and everything. And then they got to try and find the, you know, they bring her to the hospital, and then the detectives show up, and they're pompous asses, of course.
Of course.
I will say this: the captain continuously gives him shit, or the sergeant, I mean, continuously gives him grief.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, though, when Nathan Fillion's character says to him, like, "Hey, will you let me know when she wakes up? If she's okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I will."
Yeah.
You know, like, he was cool then. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're right, though. There's not a lot of comedy in this. There's a lot of act. There's a lot of drama.
Even the comedy that we do get is, like, mean. You know? It's, like, snarky. You know, showing him failing to jump through the fence.
Right.
You know? That's, like, the extent of the comedic
effect. Right, yeah. and then going back over to his girlfriend. She gets dropped. They go to a restaurant, and her new TO's like, "All right, well, I'm going to head home. I'm going to leave you here to eat. I'm going to head home." What? Yeah, I like to take my pants off and air out and everything. And then she's sitting there, and her TO comes over, and he's just like, "Hey."
Her rugged TO.
Her rugged TO. He comes over and is like, "Hey, what are you checking up on me?" Well, you know, he always dumps his trainees here so he can go home and eat mac and cheese in his underwear on the couch.
And again, he's okay with it.
Yeah. And he's... Because this is a test. Yep. This was also a test because he asked her to be with him because he wanted to see, was she going to be okay with just floating by and sitting back?
Was she going to be like, this is what I wanted?
Did she want to be a real cop?
Right.
So,
because then they get a call on the scanner about somebody who's fleeing on foot. And he's like, that's only 3 blocks from me. She's like, I'm not with my TO. He goes, chase him down. You got legs.
Yeah, I don't have a car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's go. What do they call them? Not rooks.
Boot.
Boot. Let's go, boot. Go. Yeah.
And, she chases the guy down, and then her passive TO shows up, and he's like, oh, look at that. Huh.
And then when Castle and his TO, they go to the house to, you know, they think they know where the girl is being held. And so they go to the house to talk to a neighbor. Well, it turns out to be the guy, which Kate's like, that's the guy.
Right.
You know, the house that looks like it's the house? No, it's the security guy.
Yeah.
And when he goes in, the door shuts behind him and gets locked shut. So he's on his own in the house with this bad guy or whatever. And they get the call for backup. And she goes, look, I'm taking the car. You can be in it or not. Yeah. I don't care. And he goes, to his credit, he goes.
Yep.
Because it was right after he gave her the speech of,
I like to go home to my kids and, yeah.
Exactly. I don't need to be the hero. You know, I got 12 years on. I got 8 more to go.
Yep.
But it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was. I got to tell you, this week on Kidding. So Jim Carrey, Mr. Pickles, they did a very artsy part of the episode because every country around the world has their own Mr. Pickles. But it's not like it'd be like if there was a Mr. Rogers everywhere. They're always called Mr. Rogers. But, you know, there's a French version and a Japanese version.
Bozo the Clown.
Yes, yes.
Bozo the Clown was regional. Every region had their own different Bozo the Clown, but they pretty much – it was all the same type of kids show.
Yep. So we get to see in Japan, it's Pickle-san.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Pickles. And it's played by a very old actor, and we get to see the very end of his last day. And, you know, he goes and he – hands it off to the next person who's a younger guy. And the younger guy comes to the U.S. to visit with the real Mr. Pickles to kind of shadow him.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of good stuff happens in the episode, but the best part. So Jeff, Mr. Pickles, has been dating the cancer girl that I told you about, where she was going to die. She is going to die. Like, she's got weeks to live. And he actually made her a puppet on the show. Well, his sister makes all the puppets. So he got her favorite sweater and had his sister cut out parts of it and make a sweater. And her name is Veronica. And so, I think it's Veronica. So they made this puppet who's a librarian whose name is Viva Lost Books. And she's forever going to be a puppet on the show.
Yep.
And he did this whole song and dance and introduced her to Veronica. And she was, you know, struck. Now you'll live forever.
Yep.
And so then in this episode, we're following up on that. She goes to another appointment. Holy crap, she's in remission. And I immediately laughed because I thought of Family Guy.
Family Guy, yeah.
But now she's in remission, and it's like, oh, my God. So suddenly Jeff comes out of his funk. He's feeling better about life, and he's excited. They go and they have a big celebratory dinner with his family. You know, his dad, his sister, his ex-wife, her new boyfriend, his son, his sister's daughter, his sister's husband. You know, it's a big family affair, and they're all – and while they're eating and talking and laughing and joking, he talks about Honduras. You know, Veronica said she wanted to go to Honduras, and it was something she always wanted to do, and he's like, now we're going to go. And his son's like, hey, can I go? And the ex-wife's like, sometimes adults like to go places without kids. They just want to go and have some fun. And Jeff's like, no, I think it's okay. And somebody's like, well, we could all go. And they start planning this big, elaborate family thing. You know, oh, he's really good at planning. Oh, I love looking at planning. And, you know, we're going to a foreign country, so we'll need visas and passports. And everyone's doing it. You can see that Veronica's getting more upset. And she goes, I'm going alone. And it, like, shuts the whole thing down. Everybody just shuts up. And Jeff's like, what? She's like, I'm going alone. I was going to tell you, I bought the ticket last week. I'm going next week. I need to go alone. That's fine. That's understandable. Then, though, she continues by saying, I met you when I was dying. And now when I look at you, all I can think of is death. And all I can think of is dying. And I've got another chance at life. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do things and blah, blah, blah. So basically crushing his heart.
Yeah. You know? Sounds it.
And in a selfish way, saying, you know, you stuck by me through my worst parts, and now I'm going to go out on my own because I don't need you. And you know, to his credit, he's Mr. Pickles, so he listens to her say this whole thing. She tells him in front of everybody, you know, and everyone's just kind of sitting there looking at it. And she gets all done, and he goes, okay, I understand. And it was sad. Until across the table, his father goes, fuck you! And then his sister goes, fuck you, cunt!
Oh,
and then somebody else goes, fuck you! And everybody in the whole house just starts going, yeah, fuck you! The kids are flipping her off. Everybody's just screaming at her, fuck you, you fucking bitch! The fuck is your problem? I mean, it's just this chorus of fuck yous until she leaves the house. And they follow her out screaming fuck you at her, the whole family. It was great. Oh, because that's what they were all thinking, you know?
I kind of like to see that, actually.
Yeah, because... Because he was just like, you know, he's like, okay. And then, fuck you. Oh, my God. They just ripped her up. It was great. It's a good show.
I didn't watch Lethal Weapon because I don't know if I'm going to anymore.
There wasn't a new one this week anyway. It was that one that you missed from last week that was Leo Gets Justice.
And I didn't even end up watching it.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of times I just went, I don't think I want to.
It's a background show for me now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, I actually was surprised how much I like Sean William Scott's character, mm-hmm. but I think I'm having a hard time with Murtaugh.
Yeah, especially knowing everything that went on.
Maybe after Murtaugh's gone, maybe I'll watch it again.
Right.
I don't know. I just want to throw that out there.
If they bring it back.
Yeah.
Did you watch the return 2 episodes of The Guest Book?
No, I forgot. You told me last week it was coming back, and I completely forgot. Damn, or else I would have made that a point to.
Okay. Well, there were 2 episodes. They were great. They're on the beach now. The only returning characters are Crabman and Tickles the prostitute or stripper or whatever. And she's basically on the run now. So she is trying to have an assumed identity out here on the beach as a waitress. And Crabman is still just...
Crabman?
Hey, man. Like, he's sleeping on the beach and he says that, you know, every day he wakes up and it takes him a half an hour to pick all the little crabs out of his hair. Crabman.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just like the first season, you know. The guy who runs the inn,
yep.
It's actually his mom's. And so he says, please don't write in the guest book because we don't want her to know that you rented it. I want to keep the money for myself, so just don't write in the guest book. And they're like, okay. And then they all write in the guest book. But both episodes were great. The first one was a couple who came out there,
yep.
And it's Nat Faxon and Heather Donahue from You're the Worst. And he's got his head buried in VR the whole time.
Yep.
And she's quite upset about this. And then they get into some VR porn, and it is hilarious.
Nice.
You've got to check this out.
I will.
And then the second episode is Martha Plimpton.
Oh, yeah, I like her.
And
no surprise.
Will Arnett.
Oh, nice.
And they are I can't tell you what they are because the opening of the episode, you're like, but you know how each episode ends with the next couple showing up? You see that the next couple that shows up is those two.
Yeah.
And they've got a briefcase and they're talking about something. And she reaches over and she does a line of coke off her arm real quick. So you're like, oh, okay. But then the opening for the next episode, you're like, am I still watching the same show? Because it doesn't seem like it at all. But they explain it. And it's a really cool concept.
Cool.
So. And then it'll be one episode a week from here on out.
Okay.
I will also remind you, speaking of shows coming back, Halloween night.
Oh, Stan Against Evil.
Stan Against Evil.
Oh, absolutely.
Double episode.
Yes, I'm excited about that. Midnight Texas came back.
I watched the first episode and never watched it again.
Okay. I'm trying to think what else show I have. I have one other show. We have talked about Doctor Who.
Yes, we do.
And I feel like that's it.
That's it for me for shows. I just got news stuff other than that.
I got one news item.
What you got?
I like to touch on real quick.
Well, you had two because you had the Timeless movie.
One more. They've announced that Adam Scott is going to star in The Nightmare at 30,000 Feet.
Yes.
In the reimagining of The Twilight Zone coming up next year, which is the third incantation of the short. The first one was Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, 1963, with William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, 1983, with John Lithgow playing the character for The Twilight Zone, the movie.
Yep.
So I'm interested to see. I mean, for Shatner, then John Lithgow, now Adam Scott.
My favorite from that story, because that's the one everybody knows, it's a classic story. Even the Treehouse of Horror did it once.
Yep.
You know, the man who keeps looking and seeing something out on the wing, a little gremlin type thing, but nobody else sees it. And he swears that it's ripping the plane apart,
yep.
But nobody else can see it. was an episode of Third Rock from the Sun.
Where yes.
William Shatner shows up as the big giant head, their boss. He visits them in person, and they ask him how his trip was, and he goes, well, it was fine, except for the flight in here. It really bothered me. I kept looking out, and there was something on the wing, and John Lithgow goes, I saw it too! It was so brilliant, because they never explained it. Most people probably wouldn't even get it, but it was just such a nod to the fact they both played that role on Twilight Zone at separate times. It was...
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
To this day, it's one of my favorite, like, Easter egg cameo type things.
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty hilarious.
They did say, the creator of Haunting of Hill House said that if they get a second season, he's not sure. Of course they will. It made a ton of money.
Yeah.
If they get a second season, he's done with the Crane family. He said they've done everything that they needed to. They originally planned on ending the season with a cliffhanger.
Yep.
But then they decided to give them closure and
wrap it up.
Yep.
Good.
So it'll be a new family. He didn't say if it would be a new house.
Yeah.
But he said that it would be a new family and new problems.
Okay.
So that's good. This is very interesting. HBO has hired an intimacy coordinator for the new Watchmen show, for the Deuce, for any of their shows that involve sex.
Why?
Or fake sex. Because of everything going on in the world today with people talking about sexual harassment and feeling uncomfortable. So they've hired somebody basically to be there and make sure that everything is on the up and up in all of their fake sexual encounters.
Huh.
What do you think the resume looked like for that person?
I
like 30 years in the porn industry?
I don't know.
There's sex therapists and things.
Right, right. There actually are.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're out there, just not in podunk Maine.
Actually, a friend of mine went to school at Thomas, and her roommate was a sex therapy major.
Okay.
So there was at least one in podunk Maine. She probably moved out of Maine,
because
it's Maine.
I was going to talk about their intimacy.
Have you heard about Star Trek Lower Decks?
No, what's that?
Star Trek Lower Decks is coming to CBS All Access. It's from Mike McMahon, who is one of the creators of Rick and Morty, or one of the head people from Rick and Morty. It will be an animated series following the support crew on one of Starfleet's least important ships.
Oh.
It's a comedy cartoon in the Star Trek universe, and it's going to be... They said that you can kind of liken it to the episode of The Next Generation when it just focused on all the nobodies done in engineering. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a half-hour comedy.
Wasn't
just
that episode focusing. Called Lower Decks?
I think so, yeah. the Boba Fett movie is dead.
Oh, is it?
Yep. They've officially said that it's dead. They're moving forward with just episode 9.
Yeah.
The next trilogy that's being planned out, and the show The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is what it is.
And Netflix canceled American Vandal. I don't know what's going on at Netflix where they're going on this cancel spree, but it's like every week they axe another one of their original shows. Kind of pissed me off. I really liked it a lot, especially the second season. And that's all the news that I have.
Well, let's talk about episode 3 of season 11 of Doctor Who called Rosa.
Rosa.
Doctor Who and the crew end up in 1955's Montgomery, Alabama.
After we get a scene from 12 years earlier, 1943,
yes,
of Rosa's first encounter. Well, a memorable encounter for Rosa on one of the segregated buses.
Yes, where she was forced to get off the bus and get back on the back door.
Yep.
And was like, why can't I just walk straight down?
Right.
Because that's where the white people walk.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine living in a society like that, to be honest.
Now, for those who are listening, they'll remember that last week I had watched this. You hadn't gotten a chance to watch it yet. And I said that there were two words that I could say that would make you want to watch this episode even more. So shortly after you watched it, you said, wow, what were the two words?
Yes.
My two words were evil leaper.
Yes. And that's exactly what it was.
Which is cool to think of anyway, because Quantum Leap had an evil leaper that would pop up from now and then. Really cool concept. Somebody who was trying to undo things that happened in history instead of fixing them.
Right. And in this case, you had a guy that was from the future.
Way far in the future.
Who was a white supremacist racist.
Yep.
And he was trying to stop Rosa Parks from, ever refusing to move back on the bus. Because to him, this is a little moment that started the whole thing.
He says to the companion at one point, and I'm blanking on his name here, but he says to him, you know, before you and yours started feeling above yourselves.
Yeah.
Reaching above your rank or something like that. Yeah, he's trying to make a little ripple to undo the civil rights movement.
Yeah, the villain in this is Krasko.
Yes.
The time-traveling villain.
And a very handsome time-traveling villain.
Yes, but he can't kill anyone.
Or hurt anybody.
Or hurt anyone, because he's got an implant in his brain from when he was in prison.
Neural inhibitor.
Won't allow him to do so.
Yes. He was in the most secure prison this side of the universe, as the doctor said.
Yes.
And what was it, Stormguard?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has the tattoo on his wrist to prove it, but he says that he served his time and he's rehabilitated.
Right.
But he had a whole suitcase full of outlaw tech.
Yep.
Basically, he had a blaster that was the same thing that the Weeping Angels do.
Yes.
Blast people back through time or forward through time.
To a set time and place or whatever.
Yep.
Which Ryan blasts him to that time frame.
Yes.
Because
he said as far back as he could go.
Yeah. He keeps doing little things to try and stop this from happening, like getting the bus driver the day off, and then the TARDIS crew, they got to get him back on the back on the bus, and then the buses get stopped for the day, and they announce to cancel the route, but it's not. Now they have to make sure the bus is full enough that Rosa has to.
And then he just goes ape shit on one of the buses.
Yes.
And destroys it. So he's like, well, I guess you can't ride.
Stupid kids vandalized. I mean, everything he did, he couldn't do anything violent, which was unique.
Yes.
He could only do, inconvenient things.
Yep. And he had a vortex manipulator, which we've seen before. So, but they're not that common.
Yep.
You know, the last one that we saw was in the Black Vault.
Yep.
Left over because it had been loaned to them by Captain Jack. Mm-hmm. After he was done with it.
Right.
So this guy has a vortex manipulator. Where did he get it? He is an awful handsome guy.
He is.
Jack would never be a racist like that.
No.
Jack loved everybody.
It's funny. I'm reading the continuity part of this entry here from Wikipedia about this episode. And it said that Stormcage, mentioned in Rosa, was featured in episodes of The 11th Doctor. Primarily as the place that the character River Song served for murdering her husband.
That's right. Yeah, because remember, we didn't see the outside of it, but she was always trapped in there, and she'd kiss the guards and make her escape. And yeah, interesting that she'd be in the same place as him.
Yeah. So, this episode got very emotional at the end because they're on the bus.
They finally got it to that point.
Yes.
For those who don't know history, basically what happened was on that night, Rosa Parks was sitting on the bus, and the way that the buses worked in Montgomery, Alabama was there was a white section and a black section, colored section. And they brought up very interestingly, what's her name? I want to say Vaz. She's Middle Eastern. But back then, all they knew was Mexican.
Right.
And nobody gave her crap for sitting in the white section. She's like, so I guess literally colored only means black here in the South.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting point. But they had the white section and the colored section.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to stay to your section. If there were more white people getting on the bus than they had seats for, then
they would move it back.
Right. The black people had to stand up.
Yeah.
And they had to move the seats back, and then white people could sit.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks, famously, that one night, had gotten off from work and was told that she had to stand up because the white sections were full and there was at least one other white person getting on the bus. And it wasn't like you could sit a white person next to a black person. If it was, they were all double seats.
No.
And you couldn't do that. So both black people had to get up. And she refused. She refused to get up. She said, I'm sitting right here. And the guy stopped the bus and went to a payphone and called the police and had her arrested. And that started a chain reaction of boycotts. Martin Luther King was there.
That was the thing. Yeah, that was the famous boycotts. There's a movie that Sissy Spacek is in about that, where the buses were boycotted and white people actually started driving black people around.
Yep.
We watched it in school. My teacher cried, had to run out of the room.
Nice.
Yeah. Her husband was in there watching it with us. She paused the movie and ran out of the room because somebody laughed at an inappropriate time.
Oh.
It was funny, though.
Yep.
Just the way the guy said it. But someone laughed, and she got up and got all offended and paused the movie and gave us a speech and then ran out of the room crying. And her husband gets up, because he was a teacher there as well, gets up, walks up to the front. He just goes, she gets a little emotional sometimes, and hit play on the movie and went and sat back down.
Nice.
That's why that stands out in my mind more than anything. Thanks, Mr. Ellis. Anyways, but yeah, Graham went, all right, we did it. Let's get off the bus. And the doctor is looking around. She's like, no, we have to stay on the bus because we have to occupy these seats or else she doesn't get moved back. And he's like, but I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be part of this.
Yes, yes.
And Yaz says, we must have been part of this all along.
Yes.
We were always meant to be part of this history. Because Graham, not only is he part of it, but he's the one who's standing.
Yes.
You know, because he gave up his seat for two people that got on.
Because he's like, all right, time to go.
Yep. And now he's standing, and yeah, the bus driver's like, this white man will not stand. You two move.
Yeah. And the one woman does, and then Rosa refuses.
But, you know, during this episode, all of these, you know, the doctor and the companions have made friends with Rosa. They've talked to her. You know, she knows these people, and now they have to screw her over, essentially.
Right. And at the same time, Ryan's learning, like, he meets Dr. King, mm-hmm, and he, you know, Rosa, like, he follows her home, and then he's like, oh, I just want to help the movement. And so she brings him to this meeting with Dr. King and other people involved in everything, talking about what's going on and how they can make a difference. And, you know, so they've all had some very emotional moments with this and the interactions, yes, as we have. And then when they play freaking Rise Up by Audrey Day at the
end. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's instant emotional.
Oh, yeah. And then they
take Rosa off the bus and, you know, arrest her and everything like that. It was crazy. It was so well done.
And then they pop it off, you know, with the doctor showing them the asteroid named after Rosa.
Yes.
You know, because she's saying that not only did her actions affect what happened here in the South,
yeah,
and the entire nation,
yeah,
but the whole universe, because here's an asteroid that's named after her. I expected it to be like an asteroid that, like, had a civilization on it or something, but it was just an asteroid, but it was still cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a great episode. It was such a good episode. Like, this has been a great season. These three episodes. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that today, how much I like Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
Yes.
And how crazy it is that this show is so consistently good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about it, not only do we have a new doctor this year, we have new showrunners, we have new writers, we have new everything.
Everything.
But it still looks and feels like Doctor Who.
Yes.
Like, they've
really
captured
does.
The essence of what the show is and supposed to be about.
Yep.
And it's so good. And I'm looking forward to the next episode, which is on tonight, Sunday night, because it's called Arachnids in the UK. But I saw Chris Noth is on it.
Oh, yes.
I like,
yes,
Chris Noth a lot.
I love Chris Noth.
All the way back to his days as Mike Logan in the New York City Police.
I'm glad you said that and not big on Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. But yeah, it was amazing. It was a really good episode. So, it was great.
I think that was about it for me.
That's it for me, yeah.
Yeah. And just to echo what you were saying, this show is just, it's wonderful, you know, and it was really good to see another historic episode. Think about some of the past historic episodes that have been so powerful.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, meeting William Shakespeare, meeting Van Gogh.
Yes.
Holy crap, that was a great episode. What was it? Anyway. The historical episodes can usually be very good and very powerful, mm-hmm, and this was added to the ranks of that because, like you said, even Ryan, you know, he was pointing it out. He's like, I would never – Timeless used to get into the racism aspect of it, you know,
yes,
with Rufus always having to – this one really kind of hit it home even more so, though, because, you know, it starts off with Ryan – woman drops her handkerchief and he picks it up to be polite.
Yeah.
And he walks over and he's like, excuse me, ma'am. And he reaches out to touch her. Her husband backhands him.
Yeah.
Boy, I will have you strung up from a tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I was down in North Carolina for NWA Legends Fan Fest in 2009.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the wrestlers comes out named Mr. Hughes. He's a big black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's jaw jacking with the fans because he's a bad guy and this and that. And I'm watching this kid, 10, 11, 12 years old maybe, and he's jaw-jocking back at Mr. Hughes, and then he says to him, you don't talk to me that way, boy. I'll slap the black off your face. And Dad goes, you tell him, son. And I kind of looked at the guy sitting next to me. He's from New York. His name is Dan. I go, what? He goes, yeah, welcome to the South, I guess. Because I was just like, is this little kid saying this to a grown-ass adult, and dad's encouraging him.
Right.
This is in 2009.
Yeah.
So times haven't changed that much in some aspects.
You still see, dude, how many stories have we heard in just the past 6 months of white people calling the police on black people for doing things like watching a movie, eating at a restaurant, you know, selling lemonade. The little girl who was selling lemonade and somebody called the cops or pretended to call the cops. It's racism is still alive and very prolific.
We live in Maine.
Yeah.
And I work, you know where I work.
Yes.
And you probably
at least I used to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Answer 911. I've had people call because a black guy was walking down the street. And I'm like, well, what's he doing? Well, he's walking down the street. And well, don't you think that's kind of odd? Is it odd for someone to walk down the street while it's nighttime? Because it's winter and it's 6 p.m. That's why it's nighttime. You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, winter 4 p.m. in Maine. It's dark out.
Right. You know, we haven't even fallen back yet, and it's dark. It was sick. You know, it's 6:20 right now, and it's literally pitch black out.
Yep.
Granted, it's been overcast all day.
Right, but still.
But still, yeah. Next weekend, it's going to be 5:20 right now and pitch black out. But anyways, because we fall back, which right. I think we should stop doing that anyways. But
I do.
Regardless.
It's coming
Yeah, around. It's kind of sad. Like,
yeah.
There's so many ways. We're getting into political shit now, I realize. But there's just so many ways where we become more accepting. But at the same time, still not.
Which I think is where we're getting a lot of the problems. When did this turn into a political podcast?
I don't know. When you talked about having a sex therapist on HBO shows.
Well, and then Doctor Who's episode Rosa, you know. Right. They were trying to show that it's still, you know, a thing. But when you get into these people who are now pushing it to the opposite.
This Is Us was another racist thing happening. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get to people who like what we were talking about with Superstore, where they're pushing it to the other extreme, you know, where it's like they want people to take notice so badly that they're like, we've got to take notice of everything.
Yeah.
Like literally everything. Oh yeah. It's right there. Yeah. I think you got it now. Like literally everything.
Yeah.
So that, you know, and maybe these people really are offended by everything, or maybe it's just like something's got to stick. I don't know. But it does seem.
It's old.
Excessive.
It's old.
Yes.
I'm already tired of it. What?
No, I was just looking at something.
Okay, she made a peculiar face. Anyhow, I think that's everything for me this week.
I think so as well. I think that's a podcast for me.
You know, I got to catch up on the CW shows, I realize.
Yep.
And I will. Maybe. But it's more important than that. I can't wait to watch Doctor Who.
I know. Well, like you said, it's got Christopher Nolan. So far, I've talked to two different people who watched this show as well. And both of them were like, oh my God, this season has been so good. Oh my God, the third episode was so amazing. Oh, I don't want to watch the fourth episode because it's spiders and I hate spiders. Like, come on. It's Doctor Who, though. You know they're going to do it awesome.
Just, there's something about this show.
Yeah.
You know?
Great.
I mean, when they brought it back with Chris Eccleston, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I mean, I watched Doctor Who when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's always ironic to me because I bought my aunt's house. And so when I'm sitting there watching Doctor Who, I'm like, 30 years ago, I sat here watching Doctor Who with my cousins, you know?
Right.
In the same room watching Doctor Who. So, I don't know. That's kind of crazy in itself as well. But yeah, I don't know. I think about it and it's just like, if Jodie Whittaker had been sprung upon us not a year ago, but just with the first episode,
it would have been rough at that point.
I think it would have been rough. I think we've had time not to adjust to her, but to a new doctor.
Right.
Because that's the thing. Because, like, Peter Capaldi, they announced in advance, right? I believe. Peter Capaldi. But they didn't announce Matt Smith in advance, I don't believe. I think when it went from David Tennant.
See, I wasn't watching live at the time.
See, I think when it went from David Tennant to Matt Smith, I don't think they announced that in advance. I think it happened on the episode.
Might have been. I know that they had talked about David Tennant getting done.
I had a rough transition from David Tennant to Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yep.
Because I was just so wrapped up in everything going on with David Tennant.
He was amazing.
Mm-hmm. But.
And he had the teariest farewell of all of them so far.
God, it was. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to do that with this Doctor. I'm wondering if, you know, she's got three companions right now. Are they her steadfast crew, or, like, are some of them going to leave and they'll be replaced? I don't want to see her get back to one companion. I mean, I'm liking the group
dynamic. I like these three.
Yeah.
I like these three a lot. It's like when we had Rory and...
Yes.
Emma Pond? No. Emma Pond is Amy Pond. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Karen Gillan, Amy Pond.
Yeah. Okay.
The Ponds.
When we had the Ponds. Yeah, Rory. And I knew I could... Emma, something is in my brain. Anyways, I liked having them together. Like, it thought it was, like, kind of weird. Because, like, we had just, you know, for the first... For many of the first, it was just, you know, one-on-one.
Right.
One companion.
Yeah.
And then when we got the Ponds, you got two, finally.
Well, that was... Yeah. But if you look back, you know, like, some of the earlier Doctors had multiple companions.
Yeah.
You know, back in the classic days.
Right.
And it worked really well for them, so.
Anywho, I guess that's it for me.
And that is also it for me, so.
We'll talk to you next week on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mal.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks.
Thanks, everybody.